Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you're at the start of your day, or where you're at coming in to be challenged a little bit by the word, and really to be encouraged, to be equipped, to be able to move forward, to do things that the Lord has called us to do, amen. This is Pete Cooper with Heart of the Father Ministries. Dr. David Nichols is on assignment elsewhere. Must say he's a bit warmer. He's a little closer to the equator than we are, but we're going to move through things. Look, if you can't be filled with joy, and you're going to make a doctrine to excuse it. You're gonna go into God's word and you're gonna make up a reason why you can't have joy. And I've been around a lot of joyless Christians in my day. And there's just a kind of a sad thing that's, you know, going on. But look, you gotta know that you gotta move into the place where the Lord wants you to be encouraged. He doesn't want you to be carrying around weight and anxiety and grief. I mean, the challenge has come forth. My wife and I were talking about, every year she gets a word that we work through. And this year's word is challenge. Challenge for 2022. And wow, what? Oh no. You mean to tell me that we're going to be struggling with a lot of different things? And she did say, no, that it's not about that. I found it in the word, so I'm just going to read that to you. But it's really kind of the other side of not to be challenged, but to challenge yourself to move into something that you haven't moved into before. You know, maybe one of those things is like, maybe you've been on the sidelines. Maybe you haven't really been involved. Maybe you haven't been moving forward in the way that you should be. But check this out. In Jeremiah 1, 17 through 19, it says this, but you listener, gird up your loins, arise and tell them all that I commanded you. This is the Lord speaking. Tell them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed and break down in the sight of their faces, lest I confound you before them and permit you to be overcome. Verse 18, for I, behold, I have made you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall against the whole land, against the successive kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, against the people of the land, giving you divine strength, which no hostile power can overcome. Verse 19, and they shall fight against you, but they shall not finally prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Isn't that awesome? That's the word of the Lord. That's what the Lord says. Hey, look. You need to gird up your loins. You need to make preparations. You need to move into a place where, you know, you're settled in your mind and in your spirit about what you're going to do and where you're going to go. And you need to tell people the things that God is telling you. Arise and tell them all that I command you. What has the Lord commanded you? Are you afraid to tell people of the things that the Lord has shared with you? I mean, think about that for a moment. That's like we walk around sometimes, you know, in our old Christian bubble, and we don't tell anybody anything, much less, you know, even our own brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes you might tell a guy, you know, what the plans have been. But I'll tell you this, people don't like talking about the Lord. Not even Christians like talking about the Lord because they don't know where they stand. They haven't girded up their loins yet and gotten into the place where they can move forward. And I'm telling you, look, it's time now. It's time to move forward. There are too many things ticking on the clock right now to say that there is going to be a return on our hands, that Jesus is coming back. If you think that, well, you know what, maybe things are going to go on a bit longer. Well, maybe they will. Maybe they will. And maybe after we all get a mark on our forehead and on our hand, we're still going to be wondering if Jesus is going to come back. You know, when Jesus said that there's going to be plagues, plural, plagues. Have you seen what happened with this last plague? Did you see what happened? The plague, which I don't even know if it's a plague, but everybody's treating it as though it is one with the COVID. But look at what it's done. Look at what it did. It seized the world in 48 hours. And now, 2 years later, we're still in it. We're still dealing with it. We're still dealing with our rights in this. Look, if you don't know how you're going to respond in the first plague or this first outbreak, what do you think is going to happen in the second one and the third one? Because the word says that there's going to be plagues that are going to come upon the land. It's going to be a sign that Jesus is returning. It's going to be a birth pain, things that are coming forward. Amen. So, you know, that's my rah for you to get up and to gird up your loins. Look, you need to start telling people about what the Lord's been sharing with you. And if you don't have a friend to share that with, get one. If you don't have a moving buddy, get one. Remember that from Toy Story? I don't have a moving buddy, get one. But look, if you don't have a spiritual buddy in the Lord, look, you need to move into that. You need to start having spiritual conversations. You need to start talking with one another. You know, and you got to put down the app. You got to put down your phone. You got to turn off the TV. You got to pull out your earbuds. You got to get to the place where you're going to say, hey, look, I need to bounce some things off you. This is what's going on in my life right now. These are the things that the Lord is telling me. Tell them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed or break down at the sight of their faces. Like, you know, the sight of their faces. What's the first thing that I think of when I hear that? The sight of their faces. When they roll their eyes and they go, oh, here comes Jimmy. He's going to talk about Jesus again. Or maybe, like, they didn't know you were a Christian. Maybe they just thought you were a nice guy, nice gal. Maybe you were just always been a polite person. Maybe you say please and thank you. But look, this is the thing that they, once they hear that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, amen? Look, you are for Christ. If they have not been baptized, if they have not come into the church, if they have not become believers in Jesus, they are going to make a face at you. And if they are believers and they're making a face at you, rebuke them. Hey, what do you think you're doing? What's with the rolling of the eyes? Look, I'm trying to make a move into a better way of life, into understanding the things of the word. And I'm just approaching you. Either you want to be a part of that or you don't, and it's okay. You don't have to be rude about it. But there's just times. Look, I'll tell you, when the Lord first called me into all of ministry, this was probably back in 2008 or 9, maybe 9, 2009. I was coming in, and I had mentioned to a guy, and I was we were spending time together. We were camping together. We were going places with our families. Our kids were friends. There were things that were going on that we were hanging out at their house. They were hanging over at our house. And I told this guy about, I'm starting to press in on the things of the Lord. And he looked at me sideways. He gave me like that look, like, what are you talking about? What the F are you talking about? Right? Like using expressive language. And I was just like, whoa. That to me was just like a whoa. I backed off of the conversation. I never talked to that guy again. I never went back. I never went back to him. I never apologized for anything. I moved on. I knew that that was a man who carried an antichrist spirit. He was not for the things of the Lord. You see, so this is the thing that, you know, what the word is saying in Jeremiah 1:17, he's saying like, don't be dismayed or break down in the sight of their faces, you know, to break down, like to start crying and sobbing or to like to have some kind of a, a feedback or like a righteous anger, or you're going to tell them what. You don't need to do that. You just need to separate yourself. You're done. You don't owe anybody any kind of a conversation. Look, they're part of the world. They've shown their cards to you. They are not for Jesus. They are not for you. And so when that happens, when that comes into play, back off. You're not there to defend anything about the way that you're doing. But look, this is the thing. I think that what the Lord is saying in this, in verse 17, he says, at least I confound you before them and permit you to be overcome. Look, if you are not going to have courage and to have a boldness about you that, hey, look, you don't need to come up alongside these guys and try to be their friends or trying to win them over to Jesus or do any of that. That's not what you do. Even though I think that a lot of Christians have been trained up to think that way, like, oh yeah, you got to win them over. You got to come alongside them and you got to like buy them a Coke and you got to take them out to lunch. No, you don't. That's not what the word says. So, and that's probably even for another day, but that's out of Luke 10 and that's a persons of peace. So just, you know, squirrel that away or write that in the margins of Jeremiah 1:17. Look, go to Luke 10 and just read through Luke 10. If you are not willing to do all and to do the things, to tell them all that God is commanding you. If they don't want it, if you're not willing to do that, God's going to say, look, they're going to walk. I'm going to let them walk on you. I'm going to let them walk on you. I will confound you before them. Let's take a look at, you know, some other translations of that. Okay. So let me just pull that up in the Amplified. So that's kind of what I read to you there, verse 17, but let's look at it in the ESV. Let's see, why aren't we tracking with all these? It's interesting to me that all this right now is just going on and that people are having to make decisions as to how they're going to move forward and what do I do? I just don't understand why we are in this struggle to tell people about the Lord. Sorry, I was typing there, you know what I mean? You can kind of get a little sidetracked there. So 1:17 says this in the ESV, but you dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Don't be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. So that word dismayed, to be dismayed, that means to be shattered. Don't be shattered. That's what the Hebrew word is saying right there. Don't be shattered and broken. It talks about nations under divine judgment. Don't be shattered and broken. Don't be annihilated. Don't be dismayed. Take a look at the NLT. Says this, the New Living Translation says, get up and prepare for action. Go out and tell them everything that I tell you to say. Don't be afraid of them, or I will make you look foolish in front of them. I think that's a pretty stout word there that's really being handed down to Jeremiah. But don't think that that was for Jeremiah and that's not for you. Don't look at the word of God like, oh, well, that was written for somebody else, so it doesn't really pertain to me. It pertains to you. God is not bringing us into these places so that we can just sit on our haunches and not do anything. Here we go in the NRSV. I don't even know why I have that translation up in here, probably because I just re-downloaded my software. But it says this, but you gird up your loins and stand up and tell them everything I command you. Do not break down before them, or I will break you before them. You're starting to hear it now, aren't you? Yeah, I was too. I was really taken by that. Look, there's a challenge for you to move and to do the things that God's telling you to do, but also to speak the things that he's telling you to speak. If God's not telling you to speak in it, then be quiet. But if he's telling you to speak, then it's time to move and it's time to start doing these things. And it's not going to be you having some kind of a show of force over them. They might outpower you. They might be able to outthink you. They might be the brightest and the brilliant. They might be destitute and poor. But look, this is the thing, is that the Lord says that he is going to...
Why?
Oh, yeah. That would be my speaker turning off. She doesn't even want to hear it right now. But look, these are the things, right, that God wants us to continue to press into. New King James says this, therefore prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. So kind of the same. But really that New Living Translation, get up and prepare for action. Go out and tell them everything I tell you to say. Don't be afraid of them, or I will make you look foolish in front of them. So, man alive, God can permit us to be overcome, you know, simply by just receding back within our spirit. That's probably what ends up happening, but it's not going to be a problem for us, because we're going to continue to move in. We don't need to know the why that is going to happen, or how that happens. We just need to know that if God said it in his word, that's what's going to happen. So don't be that guy. If you're always feeling like you're all flustered in front of people, it might be for the fact that you're dismayed and that you're breaking down in front of the way that people are looking at you. Stand up. Get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. Verse 18 says, for behold, I have made you this day a fortified city, and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land. I mean, you think about how a city is set up. He's telling you, look, let the challenge come. I've equipped you. I've made you to be part of this as to what I'm going to do. Be saved and stay saved. You know, come into the Lord and get there and stay there. And I'm here to tell you that, you know, I was a guy, you've heard me say it multiple times, I was in and out of this thing. I wasn't like Dr. David Nichols, kind of grew up in the whole thing. And it was always part of his life. It was always part of his life. Always. And the people that he hung around with, and the people that he went to school with, and the way that his father was a pastor, he was always around this. And I can't say the same thing for me, but I can say this, that the Lord gave me a firm foundation to stand upon, and I'm on it now. I'm not shrinking back. I made up my mind that I was going to follow after Christ. That's what I'm doing, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. Amen? So, what else? I think not only that. So, he's saying in verse 18, this is the other thing. So, he's going to make you a fortified city. So, you think about what that might look like, fortified. You know, think about what a fortified city would look like back then, but then think about what a fortified city would look like today. And you think about what kind of... armaments a city would have today if it had walls, if it was defending that, what would that look like, right? But not only that is he making us a fortified city, but he says against the successive kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, against the people of the land, giving you divine strength, which no hostile power can overcome. Giving us a divine strength. Let's take a look at that verse 18 in the NLT. For see, today I've made you strong like a fortified city that cannot be captured, like an iron pillar or a bronze wall. You will stand against the whole land, the kings, the officials, the priests, and the people of Judah. Verse 19, they will fight you. Kings will fight you. Officials will fight you. Priests will fight you. The people of the city will fight you. People are going to fight you. I'm saying, look, he's saying, get ready. Don't you understand that everything that is coming down the pipe right now is to come against us? But he's saying, look, we are going to stand. He's saying he's going to take care of us. He's the one that's saying that he has spoken. He's saying this. And so that's the encouragement for us today, is for us to continue on. We got to get out of this whole thing about the Sundays, you know, Sunday to Sunday stuff. We can't be walking around in a mentality that says that I'm a victim, or that I've fallen, or that I can't get up, or because my wife left me 15 years ago, or because my husband died 17 years ago, or because my kids aren't going to, I don't think my kids are ever going to come to the Lord, or because, you know, my dad was a drug addict, or because my mom was an alcoholic. Look, what, you know, I said this the other day on the other podcast, is that you don't have to become the experience of somebody else's mess. You don't have to become the byproduct of somebody else's mess. You don't have to. The Lord's saying, look, this is what I'm doing. He's saying, get prepared for action. Get ready. Go out and tell them. Talk to people. Tell them about the things that I'm showing you. And you might say, well, I don't know if God's really showing me anything. Well, then you need to open up the Word. Then you need to get built up. You got to turn on podcasts. You got to get into, you know, every day you have to do this. This Sunday to Sunday living for Christians is choking out the church. You don't want to be that guy. And I'll say this. This is the other thing about the church. Look, there was a time when, you know, Ezekiel was on the run, and he was all kind of, or was it Elijah? Yeah, it was Elijah. He's all freaked out. And the Lord told him, look, I got a remnant that you don't know anything about. I've got guys that are stashed away. I've got men just like you. I want you to know there are people that are just like you that are moving into the place of hunger. They are moving into the place where the Lord is beginning to speak to them, as well as he's beginning to speak to you. Even right now, if you're hearing my voice, you're in a very good place. Look, I'm doing what I've been told to do. I'm telling you what God is telling me. Get away from the Sunday to Sunday living. You have to bust out of it. Break it down. You need to start going to church. You need to go to a church where you're going to be encouraged. Don't go to a church where there's a mentality of that, well, you just know, you just never, you might never ever break out of it, but one day when you get to heaven, by and by, you're, no. This is what the Word says. This is how we're going to live. This is what we're going to do. Amen. Moving past the Sundays to live out salvation. Joy's well is found in the Word of God. There's no place for bitterness and unforgiveness and envy and jealousy and rage and anger. All these little things, right? Like, you gotta lay them down, brother. You gotta lay them down, sister. You got to lay them down. It's time to roll. It's time to move forward. You have the King of Kings who's seated in the heavens and has called you into this place, and he has sent the Holy Spirit to capture your heart, to capture your mind, to feed you, to bring you into the place that you need to go. Amen? I want you to say this. Everything in me is moving towards the kingdom of God. Say it again. Everything in me is moving towards the kingdom of God. In the kingdom, I will thrive. Outside the kingdom, I will die. So I'm encouraging you. You need to share the kingdom. You need to start praying for people. If you know people are sick, you need to go pray for them. You need to show up. You need to knock on the door. You need to get into that place, right? Where you can move past the embarrassment of things and put on the courage that God is giving you to do. You have to move away from, like, well, this is the pastor's work, or this is the deacon's work, or this is the associate or the family pastor, or this is what Sunday school teachers are supposed to. No, this is you. You need to do this. You need to move into this. This word was written unto the people of God, and that's you. Everything in me is moving towards the kingdom of God, to thrive in the kingdom and to share the kingdom and to promote the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Check this out. I don't know if you ever read 1 Samuel chapter 8, and it's the account of Dagon. And Dagon is this idol of the, I don't know who, if it was the Amalekites or the Assyrians, it was a foreign, false god. But anyway, Dagon. So the Ark of the Covenant gets captured. It's brought into the place where Dagon is. They bring it into the temple of Dagon and set it before Dagon, like, hey, look what we did. And then in the morning, they find Dagon. It's tipped over right down on its face in front of the Ark. So the people set Dagon back up. They go about their business, doing their thing. Yay. And the next morning they come in, Dagon is back down on its face. His head is broken off. His arms are broken off. And there's nothing, you know what I mean? So look, in the presence, when you move into the presence of people, when you are there, when you move into this, you are a divine representative of love and of joy and of peace. A divine representative of love, joy, and peace. You might think, well, I don't know how that works. And I would say, then learn how that works. Move into a place so that you can learn how love, joy, and peace work. You know where you do that? You do that in the Word. You do that by getting together with your spiritual buddy. You get together with another Christian. Hey, you know what? Let's do a word search on joy. Let's do a word search on love. Let's do it. And then build yourself up. Build yourselves up in the Word of God so that you can begin to understand these things, because you're a representative of the divine work of God. And so if you as a representative are always bummed out and you never think anything's going to work and you think all this stuff is broken and that it's garbage, then how are you going to share this with anyone? This is the thing, if I want to know more about, I don't know. Let's say if I want to know more about my truck. So I have this truck, and I know about cars, but I don't know about this truck. Now I can go to a mechanic, but if I go to the wrong kind of mechanic, if I take my Ford F-150 and take it to a Mercedes guy, the Mercedes guy is going to be like, well, the principle works like this. But if I really want to know how my Ford works, if I really want to know about the F-150, I'm going to take it to a Ford dealer. I'm going to have him explain things to me because he knows how everything has been put together. And not only that, but we can go one step further and we can go into the engineer. The engineers and the guys that built this thing, the guys that designed it, they moved it. They know the integral parts. They know how the whole thing is put together. That's the Holy Spirit. He knows how we're put together. He knows how to bring all of this together. So this is the other thing with all of that encouragement. Check this out. Disease thrives in brokenness. Infection comes in when there's no defense. Think about that. Think about the example of your physical body and how it responds to negative things and how it responds to positive things. But the negative, right? We need to bring order into our life, living above what the world lives on, moving into a higher road, letting our yes be yes and our no be no, making our promises count. When we say we're going to do something, we do it. If we don't think we can do it, then we don't promise to it. We don't become men pleasers. We become God pleasers. Amen? So here's the question at the end of the day. What's opposing your growth? What's getting in the way of you growing? God moves forward. He says that we perish because we lack knowledge. So what's getting in your way? What gets in the way of you growing? Why aren't you teaching? Remember when Paul asked, he had brought that up in one of the epistles. He says, hey, look, you guys, right? By this time, you guys should be teaching and you're not. What's going on? How long have you been a Christian? You know, how long was Peter and Paul and John and James? How long were they Christians before Jesus left? About 3.5 years. How long have you been a Christian? 19 years? 9 years? You've been a Christian for 9 years, and you don't share the gospel. You don't talk to any. You don't pray for people. You live on a Sunday to Sunday thing. Do you realize that when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, when it came upon the 120 in the upper room, that everything took off and it started to flourish? It moved. It became the greatest thing that ever hit the earth. It was like a sudden impact. Boom. There it goes. Bam. And the gospel went out from that place. How did the gospel go out? They didn't even have anything written down yet. They did it through the kingdom of heaven, through the kingdom of God, by the laying on of hands, by casting out demons, by healing the sick, by cleansing the lepers. Amen? That's what has to happen now. Things have to go on display. You have to start talking about things that the Lord has given to you. So let's close our eyes, unless you're driving. But Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in our lives today. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are mighty and that you're powerful. Lord, that you have called us to get prepared for action. Lord, just in the same way that when men and women go into the military, they go into basic training. But that basic training, it's just basic training. It's not the real thing. It's basic. It's what to do if a situation like this occurs. Father, you have prepared us to get up and to go out and tell people about the things that you're sharing with us. Lord, that we are not to be afraid of them. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against fear. And Lord, I ask that you would bring a boldness and a quickening upon our listeners today. Lord, that they will cast off this lack, and Lord, that they would put on supply in the name of Jesus. Lord, that they will not look foolish in front of any man. Lord, that you are the one who has built a strong city. Lord, you have fortified them. You will build them up, and that they will not be captured. They will stand against the land because you've called them to do so. So thank you. Lord, we also lift up to you the kings and officials and priests and the people of our region, in our city, in where we live, where we dwell, Lord. We lift them up to you, Lord. And we just say, Lord, would you bring salvation to them? Lord, you are about winning souls, and I want to be about winning souls. That even though, Lord, you say that they're going to fight us, they're going to fail. So, Lord, strengthen us to go into the battle. Challenge us, oh God, that when we move in to fight, Lord, they will fail. Because we know, Lord, in your word, it says that you're with us and that you will care for us. And these are the words that you've spoken. We thank you for today in Jesus' mighty name.